escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Rob Brown Show right here on the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. 844-326-3663 is the Hub City Spartanburgers text line. On the text line today, and using that same number to call into the radio broadcast, I am asking the question in a break from the traditional Rob Brown Show, where we don't really do a, like, themed question of the day, to the chagrin of many a boss of mine. What is the most patriotic moment in all of sports, all of American sports? What is the most patriotic American sports moment? We have submissions so far of George W. Bush throwing out the first pitch at Yankee Stadium in Game 3 of the 2001 World Series. We have the Lake Placid Olympic Games where Team USA defeated the Huskies. We have, I've submitted mine. It was a high school football game in 2001. I've told the story. If you missed it, go back to thefanupstate.com and grab your spot there. Texter said, it doesn't touch the big ones, but Team USA letting gloves hit the ice against Team Canada Four Nations face-off this year in the NHL All-Star break. There's a lot of good ones. Keep them coming. What is the most patriotic moment? Frank Wagner says, Sunday Night Baseball 2011 Mets-Philly when they announced Bin Laden died and everyone chanted USA. Lonzo and I were kind of talking about that during the break because a much younger Rob Brown was watching a WWE pay-per-view that night. If I recall correctly, it was Extreme Rules. And John Cena was sent out, just randomly came out. We were like, oh, thought it was an angle. What are we doing here? Why is John Cena out here? Because he really, I don't remember if he had already wrestled or went to the main, had a main event later, but he just like came out.
Well, as far as that goes, when you look especially during that time, the most American wrestler was probably John Cena.
Without a doubt.
He had done the Marine, I believe, at that point, and tribute to the troops that they do every year. He was always front and center for that. So
Cena comes out like randomly in the middle of this pay-per-view, grabs a mic, and says, we wanted to let you know that we have caught and compromised to a permanent end Osama bin Laden. And that audience went nuclear hot with the USA chant. And I would make the argument that that might be on that list. Because I will tell you as a wrestling fan, I think Lonzo will too, there's not much that wrestling fans love as much as getting after other wrestling fans at a like we just chirp at each other all the time. My guy's gonna beat your guy, whatever. That was another moment where there were 20-ish, whatever, 1,000 people in that building, And in that moment, nothing mattered more than everybody being an American. It was a great moment. And I imagine that had you been in New York when that got announced, that felt the same way. Travis said, and we got a texter who said at the same time, Whitney Houston singing the national anthem. Texter said Whitney Houston singing the national anthem at the Super Bowl when the first Gulf War had just started. I, to this day, believe that is the greatest rendition of the national anthem of all time. I think there's some contenders. I think there are some that, because of the context of the moment that they were performed, should be in that conversation. Even though it was not necessarily following a national tragedy like some of the others, I, to this day, believe that Whitney Houston's national anthem is still the greatest rendition of that song of all time, and that is a great, great moment. Brian Tiger Truther checked in and said, Mets Phillies the night we took out Bin Laden. That's got a handful of votes so far. And Texter said, just for fun, when Rocky Balboa beat Ivan Drago and changed the hearts and minds of Soviets forever.
Yeah, but you said we couldn't do that. So I mean,
yeah, no fictional moments. Yeah. However, that is a badass movie. It absolutely is. I mean, that's the movie that made montages.
Except for when, Apollo died. But I mean, other than that, I mean
it just meant more at that point. Right? Then you're stacking legacy.
He dies. Yeah.
If he dies, he dies. He bleeds. All right. It is 7:05 in the morning. You've got less than 54 minutes until you've got to get yo Rudy Patootie into the office, sat down in that chair, respond to those emails, and then prepare for like 7 hours and 35 minutes of prepping to not be there anymore. And a lot of that time is going to be consumed, I assume, talking about sports with the people you enjoy talking with at work. And when you do, this is what you're going to be talking about. It's your water cooler cheat sheet. It is the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office this AM and start talking sports with your coworkers. When you do, this is what you're going to be talking about. Let us begin with item number one. Continuing the NBA free agency period of the calendar, we've got a couple more moves that came down yesterday. Frank Vogel finalizing an agreement to join the Dallas Mavericks as a lead assistant coach under Jason Kidd. Vogel, of course, won the championship as the head coach of the LA Lakers in the COVID bubble back in 2020. Dante Exum has agreed to a one-year deal to return to the Mavericks. Spencer Dinwiddie has agreed to a one-year deal with the Charlotte Hornets. That was in a Shams Wow that dropped yesterday at about 2:30 in the afternoon. We're going to break this down later because I've been filling in all week on the afternoon show on the BetMGM Network, and that is a basketball-heavy show. We have had a lot of basketball experts on the last couple of weeks, and I have been trying to convince all of them that this year is a pivotal year for the Hornets as a franchise. This year feels like a pivotal year, really, for all of the up-and-coming teams in the East, because I think this year, with the loss of Jason Tatum, the loss of Tyrese Halliburton, the departure of Damian Lillard from the Milwaukee Bucks, it feels to me as if the East is wide open this year. And there are some teams. I put Atlanta on that list. I put Detroit on that list. I put Orlando on that list. And I put Charlotte on that list. It feels to me as if this is a year where some of these up-and-coming teams have an opportunity that they don't get most years. And that opportunity is that there's not really a dominant force in the East this year, right? It's not the Pacers without Tyrese. It's not the Bucks without Dame. It's not the Boston Celtics without Jason Tatum. The team that it coulda, shoulda, woulda been was probably the New York Knicks. But in another move that got announced yesterday, the New York Knicks announced that they are hiring Mike Brown to be their new head coach. Now,
It's an interesting hire because Mike Brown has had some level of success. He is a two-time NBA Coach of the Year. He did it in 2023 with the Sacramento Kings. That is the same team, however, that fired him back in December after a 13-18 start to their season. Mike Brown is a guy that was in the the head coach of the LA Lakers, and they got close, but he was fired then because Jerry Buss was close to dying, and they wanted to try to get another title before Jerry Buss passed away. They fired Mike Brown because they did not think he was the guy that was going to get them there. He was in Cleveland for a while. It ended ugly, despite some success, not a title, but he got fired there too. What I said yesterday about this hiring was, Tom Thibodeau took you to an Eastern Conference Finals this year, and you lost in six games to a team that would then not only go on, obviously, to the NBA Finals, but then would take a team that was expected to win in four or five all the way to a game seven and force a game seven that had their superstar not suffered a freak injury 5 minutes into the game, likely would have had a very good chance to win that game. I don't know that losing to the Pacers was a reason to fire Tom Thibodeau. And when you had that emotional press conference after that, where Jalen Brunson, the star of that team, was asked, is Tom Thibodeau the guy? And he went, yeah. Is that even a question? That's our coach. And then you fired him the next day to turn around and go get Mike Brown, another retread coach. Again, a guy who has had some success, two-time NBA Coach of the Year, to lead a team that was that close this year. I just don't see that as a step forward.
Why do people not get up in arms about the fact that basketball, especially NBA, recycles more than the NFL? If it happens in the NFL, people get a little upset about it. Oh, why are they hiring that guy? They just should be looking at other people to come in and do the thing. But basketball, it's like the same four guys that go from team to team to team to team.
I think it's for a couple of reasons.
Remember when Larry Brown was coaching? That dude coached for every single team.
I think it's for a couple of reasons. I think one of the reasons is that's just how basketball has operated for a very long time, and people are to some degree, I'm not going to say used to it, I'm going to say callous to it. And I think the other reason is we don't really know the assistant coaches outside of our own in the NBA, right? Like if I asked you to name any assistant coach that was not an assistant coach for your team specifically, short of like the Frank Vogels, who won a championship as a head coach and is now an assistant coach, short of those retreads, we don't really, like, assistant coaches in the NBA are not celebrated where they are in the NFL. If an NFL team goes to the Super Bowl, we know their coordinators. Not only do we know their offensive and defensive coordinators, but, like, we know their position coaches if they stand out. And so for a lot of fans, it feels like, whether it is true or not, the talent pool of coaches that you would be assistant coaches, you would be willing to give a shot, feels like a deeper pool than it does in the NBA, right? Like James Borrego is an assistant coach for the New Orleans Pelicans that the Knicks interviewed. I'm going to keep it a buck. Big Pelly guys over here. That's the only assistant coach I know. And I'm pretty sure I only know him because he has been a guy that over the past 2 years has interviewed for a few head coaching positions and got none of them. That's a cat that I would have said to Jimmy Dolan, owner of the Knicks, go with that guy. He has developed players in New Orleans repeatedly. So I think there is a reason for that. Anyway, let me wrap this one up with this one. DeAndre Ayton, former center for the Trailblazers, is now the current center for the LA Lakers. Here is what I'm going to say about DeAndre Ayton. He's skinny Zion. Now, I'm not even going to go that far, because when Zion's in shape and he's evidently trying, Zion Williamson's a 21-12-7 guy. DeAndre Ayton is the definition of all the physical tools to be a dominant five in the NBA and zero of the headspace for it. All the dominant tools to be a true great.
So you're calling
great.
Him dumb?
I'm calling him lazy.
Okay.
I'm calling him lazy. All right. I'm calling him undisciplined. When I say doesn't have the head for it, I don't necessarily mean is a basket case like Draymond. I'm saying that includes, do you have effort? DeAndre Ayton doesn't. There were folks yesterday putting on social media clip after clip after clip of DeAndre Ayton standing under the basket and just watching guys get rebounds without trying to put up a fight. Buddy, if you are 7'2 and you're that close to the basket, I don't care if you are trying to rebound against the 73 Chevy pickup. Put your ass on somebody and go get the basketball. And DeAndre Ayton doesn't do that. So I don't know how much, if at all, that helps. I mean, it is a step up from Max Kleber, but like, that's a lazy big man. And Luka wants a guy who is an active big man. That is a part of what he does. Attack to the free throw line, rise up, kick, or find the big man. Ayton does not demand space. He plays around guys.
Has he played with anyone like Luka who can get the ball to him the way that Luka can?
I do not need you to be a superstar or to play with a superstar, to try.
Okay.
Ayton doesn't fight.
All right.
Right? I would say if you're a big man and you know your point guard is not Luka level, you fight for more space to make it easier for him to get to the ball.
So what you're saying is if the Lakers would have had Ayton in the playoffs this year, they still wouldn't have won?
They would have had a better shot of winning their opening round. Do I think he makes them a championship team? No. Do I think he makes them better? Absolutely.
Really?
Do I think he puts him?
Because everything you said makes it sound like oh, what a bad deal this is.
No, it's not a bad deal. It's a step up from Max Kleber. Like, it's a step forward. But it's also like, it's a step forward in a marathon. Yeah, you're making progress, but like, you got a long way to go. All right, very quickly, let's run through item number two. The Braves win last night, 8-3. Cool. Like, I'm still out. I'm still done. I didn't watch this game, and I missed one moment, which was a Matt Olson grand slam in the sixth inning that broke the game open. The reason I put this on this list is because we had a couple of moves for the Atlanta Braves yesterday. First and foremost, Jurickson Profar made his return from his 80-game suspension for PEDs. Jurickson Profar did go yad in his first game back for Atlanta in order to make room for the returning Jurickson Profar. The Braves did DFA Alex Verdugo. Verdugo no longer a member of the Atlanta Braves. Verdugo, a guy who had like a 2-week stretch where he was playing good ball and stank outside of that. So it makes sense, even if Profar is a dude that now has to prove that he can do it without the juice. He looked good in his first game back. The other move that got made, because the Atlanta Braves can't have nice things, Spencer Schwellenbach is on the 15-day DL with a non-displaced wrist fracture in his throwing hand. I don't know a ton.
It's the same thing that sidelined Red Panda.
Her wrist is outright broken. I almost made that item number three, to be honest with you. I thought about it. I didn't. I thought about it. But he does have a non-displaced, which I guess displaced would have made it worse, non-displaced wrist fracture. Spencer Schwellenbach will not throw a baseball for the next month and a half. So one of the few guys that's been doing anything is now out. And Charlie Morton was moved from the 15 to the 60-day DL, meaning you are 2 months away from getting him back on the bump. So, yeah, good job on the win. Your team's falling apart. Nice job, everybody. 8-3, the Braves beat the Angels. As an addendum, Clayton Kershaw got his 3,000th strikeout last night. He is the 20th pitcher in Major League Baseball history to hit that mark. He is just the fourth left-hander of all time to hit the mark of 3,000. The only other active pitchers to do it, Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer. Randy Johnson, Steve Carlton, and CC Sabathia are also in that group as well. Let's get to item number three. Another baseball story in this one, your 2025 MLB All-Star starters were announced last night on ESPN. On the American League, catcher Cal Raleigh from the Mariners, first baseman Vladdy Guerrero Jr. from the Blue Jays, Gleyber Torres will play second from the Tigers, Jacob Wilson of the A's will play at short, third baseman by Jose Ramirez from the Guardians, Ryan O'Hearn of the Orioles will be your DH. In the outfield, Aaron Judge, the only Yankees starter, gets his seventh nod. He will be joined by a pair of Tigers by a pair of Tigers in the outfield. Riley Green and Javi Baez will go. For the National League, Will Smith of the Dodgers will be behind the dish on first. Atlanta Braves legend, now LA Dodger legend, Freddie Freeman He gets his fifth starter nod. Ketel Marte will play second. Francisco Lindor of the Mets will play short. Manny Machado of San Diego out at third base. The DH, no shock to anybody, will be Shohei Ohtani. The lone Braves starter will be Ronald Acuna Jr. of Atlanta out in right field. Pete Crow Armstrong and Kyle Tucker, both of the Chicago Cubs, will join Ronnie out in the outfield. Teoscar Hernandez, Juan Soto, Andy Páez are the three that just missed out on starting nods in the National League. For the American League, Mike Trout, Stephen Kwan, both just missed being named as starters. So there's your MLB All-Stars. We'll talk more about the All-Star game as we get a little bit closer to it. We have got to run to a break. When we come back, we continue the discussion. What's the most patriotic moment in American sports history? That one moment that made you just swell up with American pride. I want your answers on the Hub City Spartanburger text line, 844-326-3663, or call that number and get on the air. I got a couple of, stick with me here, couple of WNBA stories that I want to run through, because I have never been so supportive and critical of an entity at the exact same time. And I'm going to do that when we come back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Always welcome back to the Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. I have a couple of quick WNBA stories, but I even if you're not a fan, I want you to stick with me here, because they're really sports stories at large. They're also, I think, to some degree, culture stories of the sports culture, and I think that they are important. The first one is, I saw something that has been going around the last couple of days. And that something is that the WNBA All-Star rosters have been released. And they were comprised of three voting groups. 50% of the votes were from the fans. 25% of the All-Star vote counting came from the media. And 25% of the All-Star voting came from the players. The fans voted Caitlin Clark as the number one All-Star. She received more votes than anybody else. That is why she is a WNBA All-Star Game team captain. They are not doing a conference v. conference All-Star Game. They are doing it like the NBA did for a couple of years there, with two teams comprised of the entire talent pool drafted by the two captains. First place All-Star vote getter, Caitlin Clark, by the fans. She was the third highest vote getter from the media. The players are interesting.
That's what you're going with, interesting?
Yes, I'm going with interesting. Because the players in the WNBA voted Caitlin Clark the ninth guard, not player, ninth guard in the NBA All-Star voting. And this has been a running discussion for a day or two now. And I was going to ignore it, to be honest with you, because I did not think that it was that big of a deal. But yesterday, I was on You Better You Bet with Jared Smith, who is a host on the network. Good dude, like Jared.
Let me
enjoyed
ask you
my
really
time
quick.
With him.
Why did you think that's not that big of a deal? Because that's a pretty big deal.
I did not think it was that big of a deal because I thought that more people know ball. I have zero problem with Caitlin Clark being ninth. You know why? Because Caitlin Clark has not only missed a significant chunk of games this year because of a groin injury, she's sitting out again tonight against the Las Vegas Aces. Not only has Caitlin Clark missed a significant number of games this year due to injury, on top of that, Caitlin Clark's numbers are not that good this year. In fact, in her last three games leading up to the current injury, Caitlin Clark has, and this is accurate, I had to go check it myself to make sure. In the last three games leading up to her most recent injury, Caitlin Clark, Lonzo, has 22 turnovers and one made three-pointer.
Yeah, I've seen some of it. I watched some of the game, I think it was last Sunday, or maybe it was a Sunday before
she
that.
She doesn't look good.
Yeah, there's something seems to be off for sure.
Now, I do think that it is partially because Caitlin Clark got that dog in her, and I think she was playing hurt. I do. She has been sitting out with this groin injury, and a groin injury that made her sit out of the Commissioner's Cup final against Minnesota a couple of nights ago. Caitlin Clark, more than any other player in the league, has been running her mouth about winning the Commissioner's Cup. It was a big deal to her. And for her to be hurt enough that she sat out of that game says she's messed up. And I think that because she do got that dog in her, I think she was playing hurt. And you can see it in the numbers. Caitlin Clark has not been good the last couple of weeks. And she was more Caitlin Clarky at the beginning of the year. But as a entire first half, her numbers aren't great. They're not the Caitlin Clark numbers we're used to. And I think it's because she may have been playing hurt. And I think after a stretch of three games with 22 turnovers and one made three-pointer, I think it's fair for the Fever to go, look, we know you want to be out there and we know these games and specifically the Commissioner's Cup are important to you, but you got to take a seat. And while I absolutely do think that over the past couple of years, some of the women in the WNBA have been extra aggressive about Caitlin Clark. And I want to distinguish something here. I got zero problem with being real physical with Caitlin Clark on the floor. Just like I would say, if you are playing Nikola Jokic, you hack his ass. If you are playing from the outside, Devin Booker, you beat that man up. You make him go through the beating and the bruising in order to be him. Same with Caitlin Clark. It's still basketball. Beat her up when she has the basketball. I'm not saying extracurricular. I'm not saying after the whistle. I'm saying in the game. That is part of the reason the Fever went and they got Sophie Cunningham, was to have a goon, to have an enforcer, to have somebody that if there is a little extra something-something on the end of a pop to Caitlin Clark, Sophie's going to run over and Triple H pedigree somebody through the hardwood, as she did in that game a couple of weeks ago. But I got no issue with playing Caitlin Clark maybe a little bit more physically to kind of throw her off her rhythm. I do have a problem with treating Caitlin Clark aggressively outside of the basketball game, Because I do think a lot of the claims of jealousy about Caitlin Clark are valid. I would also say that, even though I don't agree with that, I understand why. I couldn't imagine a world in which I had been playing 8, 9, 10 years in this league trying to get it on the map. And here comes one person who shows up and the league viewership goes up 50% immediately. Profits of the league go up. Like, that's got to sting. Even if you should embrace that and roll with it because, hey, y'all are the ones who want to fly private. You've got that money now. Y'all are the ones that wanted more national TV exposure. You are getting it now. And she's the reason why. Whether you like it or not, she is. But I also understand why you'd be a little upset that you busted your ass for 8, 9, 10 years and here comes one girl and she all of a sudden takes it to the next level. So I'm not even upset with that. I think they should stop, but it's not that. The conversation, however, and this is where I do bump into a problem, that the WNBA players are petty. The WNBA players are jealous. The WNBA players are haters. I do have a problem with that. Caitlin Clark has missed a lot of games, and her numbers are down. 3 games, 22 turnovers, 1 3-pointer. That's not all-star. I don't care if she is the most famous women's athlete on planet Earth, and she might be. That's not all-star numbers. And I think if this league is going to be taken seriously as a league, it needs to act as if it is a serious league. Even if Caitlin Clark has risen to a level of celebrity that 99% of the NBA players wish they could achieve, it should still be treated as a serious league. And if you were going to tell me that Caitlin Clark, who has missed how many games at this point, and who has played poorly in a lot of the games she has played in, deserves an all-star nod just because she exists, that tells me that you want the WNBA to just be the Caitlin Clark League. And while for a large part of who is watching the WNBA, that's probably true, to me, I want it treated like basketball. This is the same issue I had in, say, the MLB All-Star voting, where there are going to be like 7 Dodgers on the NL team, and 4 of them have no business being there.
Okay.
They are
all
exclusively
right. I was wondering
there.
If you're going to bring up other sports, because it happens in every sport.
100%.
Because it's popularity, and that's usually what's going to win with the fan vote, is the popular vote. I mean, that's just how that works. That's why they only give it 50%. I'm surprised that the players don't get to pick more. In the WNBA and the media less. But still, I mean, you give them 50% of the vote, of course they're going to pick the most popular player.
And I don't disagree.
It happens in the NBA. It happens every sport. It happens that
I
way.
Agree, but here's the difference. Here's the difference. If it happens in MLB and Andy Páez from the Dodgers gets selected to the All-Star game, because the fans voted him. Because, hey, the LA Dodgers have the largest MLB fan base in baseball. They are just going to, by nature, have more votes for their guys. If Andy Páez gets selected the MLB All-Star game, and it's because of the fans, and the baseball players voted him the 13th best outfielder in Major League Baseball, do you know what doesn't happen? Colin Cowherd doesn't go on a show and call them all petty, nasty, gross people. That's what doesn't happen. That is happening to the WNBA players right now. They are getting all these labels, and they are right in this case. I'm a big Caitlin Clark stan. I'm a fan. She, I think, is the first female athlete since Hope Solo back in the glory days of the U.S. Women's National Team. The first female athlete that I'm like, I'm buying her merch because I like her that much. But she is not one of the best players in the WNBA today. I am ready to say we should completely and entirely wipe fan votes from every All-Star game. This is why. Because of this kind of stuff. The WNBA players are being laid, oh, you're petty, you're jealous, you're a hater. No, no, no. They're right. I love Caitlin Clark. I'm a big Caitlin Clark guy. But right now, today, she is not playing All-Star caliber basketball. It's because of injury, and that's fine. She'll get back to what she was doing. But they're right, and they don't deserve to be called names because of it. I got another similar story. I'm going to come to that later on in the show. But when we come back, we will wrap up hour number one with some college football. Another talking head had something to say about South Carolina, and It's got me asking a question to Gamecock fans that I am going to demand that you answer next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
The Rob Brown Show is back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. Be a part of the be a part of our progress.
You could be a part of the progress.
You could be.
You don't want to be a part of the downfall.
Getting butter every day. Be a part of the program. 844.
It's not like you said getting butter every day.
326-3663. You can text the Hub City Spartanburger text line, or you can call in if you have a thought. Gamecock fans, I would like your thoughts now. You know, I pointed out earlier this week that a lot of the talking heads have opinions about your football team this year. And it's a good thing. Because on the big shows, teams that are talked about are relevant teams. Irrelevant teams are not talked about. When your team starts showing up more and more regularly on the big shows, and not just the local shows, you can rest assured that your team is getting noticed. That usually means that there is either A, an upward trajectory, or B, a rapid declining trajectory for your program. I think we know which one we are talking about with the Gamecock football program. So, yesterday on the CBS Sports Network, Tom Fornelli was talking about the Gamecocks, and he said this. So, Tom Fornelli says, you got a lot of returners. In the handful of spots that you were losing dudes, you've done well in the portal. And it's a, he says, a favorable schedule. I do disagree with that. I'm looking at the Virginia, real quick, I'm not going to spend a ton of time on these games, but Virginia Tech's a winnable game, South Carolina State, obviously. Vanderbilt at home, even with Diego Pavia probably back. I think that's a winnable game at the crib. I think you win at Missouri. I think you win at home against Kentucky. And then you get to the meat and taters. At LSU, I've already told you what I think about LSU. I think Brian Kelly is coaching for his life this year. And I also think if the prognosticators are correct about Garrett Nussmeier being one of the best quarterbacks in college football, LSU's a tough out. And Baton Rouge, Louisiana at nighttime is as tough a place to play as there is in the country.
You know, really quick, the Gamecocks are all about getting coaches fired.
That's fair. That's fair.
And historically. So watch out.
Then you've got Oklahoma and Alabama back-to-back at the crib. I think Oklahoma is a beatable team. I think Alabama, we will know at that point if they are a beatable team or if Kalen DeBoer's turned it around. I'm actually up on Alabama this year. I think that's going to be a tough out for South Carolina. Then you're at Ole Miss. Ole Miss is a team that I do not, but a lot of people have as a borderline playoff team. Then you're out Texas A&M down at the compound. Same situation. I'm not a big Texas A&M guy. However, Mike Elko ain't Jimbo Fisher, and I like the direction he's taking that team. Do I think A&M's a playoff team this year? No. A lot of other people do. Then you've got Coastal, and then you've got Clemson. Now, as pointed out,
he's right. This is one of the easiest schedules they've had in years.
It depends on how you feel about these teams. There are a lot of people who think that Brent Venables' Oklahoma team is going to be dramatically better this year. They've got a quarterback that is raising they got a quarterback who ran Jackson Arnold out of town. Jackson Arnold is expected to be a very good quarterback, and they got a kid that ran him up out of Norman. Remember, the same trajectory that Caleb Williams sent Spencer Rattler on before he ended up in Columbia, and he turned out to be pretty damn good. Alabama, if you feel like Alabama's down, then yes, South Carolina's schedule looks a lot better. If you, like I do, think that Alabama's going to be a force this year, and I do, that's a tough out. Depends on where you feel about Ole Miss. Can they rebound from losing Jackson Dart? If they're going to have to replace a dude with Lane Kiffin at the helm, I want it to be the quarterback. That's what he does. I think that's a tough out. A&M. Are they a playoff team? I think they are going to be in the conversation, probably as one of those could be 9-3, could be 10-2 teams. That's a tough out. Coastal's a win, all due respect to the Chanticleers. And Clemson's a tough game, especially playing it at noon at the crib. I don't know why the hell this game, I mean, I know why the game's at noon. I hate that the game is at noon. I wish this game was at 7:30 p.m. so that the good people of Columbia could go get liquored up and make it louder in Willie B. I do not think it is an easy schedule, but that is because I look at LSU, Oklahoma, Alabama, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, and Clemson. That is five of your final six games, all of whom could be in the playoffs. You have one of the easiest first halves in football, and that trajectory is going to be set. But here's the question that I have for you, because I think South Carolina is in a position this year that they haven't been in at least since I've been here for the past 5 years. And that position is, it is not just your expectations anymore. The expectations of the national landscape are that you are moving into a contender's position. Maybe not for the playoffs this year, but moving in that direction. The expectations are for you to send a quarterback to the Heisman Trophy celebration. He's what we say he was, and I got to check to see if those lines are moving anymore. But if I recall correctly, he's like the eighth or ninth shortest odds to go, and all of college football, eight or nine shortest odds to end up in New York City at the Downtown Athletic Club for the Heisman Trophy celebration. The expectations for your offense with a returning group of wide receivers is that you're going to be able to move the ball through the air. Questions about the run game, we've talked about those at length. But you listen to Tom Fornelli of CBS Sports there, and I think it has become obvious to me that the upward trending expectations are not just ours. We talked about this earlier in the show. We came into last year saying 6-6 is the floor, 10-2 is the ceiling. You'd like to be closer to the 10 than the 6. You were 9-3. And there was a game or two in there that it's like, damn, that Alabama game. You win that Alabama game, South Carolina's in the playoffs last year. Not maybe, definitively, if they win that Alabama game, that heartbreaker, you're in the playoffs last year. So with what you did last year, with who you are bringing back this year, the national expectations are that South Carolina will be one of those teams. When it is selection day and we are getting the bracket, the expectation is that if there is that group of teams that's like, are we going to be number 11 or 12 or are we going to be number 13, 14? South Carolina will be in that bubble right now. And so the question that I now have for South Carolina fans is, do you think that the program is ready to handle elevated expectations? And for the sake of the conversation, forget the national expectations. Forget that Tom Fornelli has you competing for a playoff spot this year. Forget that. Who was it? I forget who we played. We played somebody else yesterday, too. And I think the day before that. Todd McShay. Todd McShay put you in those elevated expectations. The way that I know the expectations are elevated this year is because a minute ago I said last year the expectations were 10-2 is probably the ceiling. 6-6 is the floor. You're going to be somewhere between 6-6, 10-2. Just be closer to the 10 than the 6. And I agree with that. As of right now, and I do reserve the right to change this as we get closer to the season. We're sitting on, what, I think 51 days now until the college football season begins? If we are moving in that direction, the expectations that I have today are, I still think that 10-2 is the ceiling. I still think that 10-2 is probably about the best you can accomplish. And again, I attribute that to the fact that the back half of your schedule is indeed one of the toughest in the country. Even if you don't think that some of those teams are going to be good, you've still got some tough away games at LSU, at Texas A&M. Those are going to be tough games, difficult games. So, with an elevated set of expectations for this team, the question for me becomes, do you think the program is ready for that? Do you think the program is ready to handle that? Do you think that the mentality has been installed over the last couple of years to be able to look at that pressure? Because last year it was 10-2 or 6-6, just be closer to the 10. For me this year, I think my expectations today are 10-2, 4. 8-4 is the lowest expectation that I am comfortable with. 6-6 does not cut it this year for me. 6-6 this year feels to me like a letdown. 6-6 this year would feel like a disappointment. 7-5 would feel like a disappointment to me this year. Because Tech should be a win, SC State should be a win, Coastal should be a win. There's halfway to 6. I think Vanderbilt, Missouri, Kentucky, expected wins for me this year. There's 6. And so out of that remaining, LSU, Oklahoma, Alabama, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, and Clemson. Y'all, I need 2 wins out of that group to get to 8-4. Assuming you win all the ones you're supposed to, and there's the old cliche, a good team wins every game they are set to win and half the games they're not. That's the mark of a good team. Every game you are supposed to win and half of the ones that you are not. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to be favored over Tech, SC State, Vanderbilt, Mizzou, Kentucky, and Coastal. You got to win all 6 of those. You're going to be dogs against, you may even be favored against Oklahoma, to tell you the truth. Now, again, I think that Oklahoma's taken a big step in the right direction this offseason. That might be like a push game. Maybe one of you is favored by one or the other. But let's chalk it up as a not supposed to win for the sake of the conversation. You will be dogs against Oklahoma, Alabama, maybe Ole Miss. You'll be a dog on the road at A&M, probably 1.5, maybe 2. You'll be a dog probably against Clemson, who is a front runner for the Natty for most people this year. So there's your other half. If you win half of those games, which again, great teams win all the games they are supposed to and half the games they're not. If you win half of the games you're not supposed to win, you're 9-3. And then if we do say, let's say Oklahoma and Ole Miss end up being favored because you are, you know, Oklahoma's got their quarterback this year. You're on the road at Ole Miss with Joey Freshwater. Okay, cool. Let's say you win half the games you're not supposed to, which now there are 5 of them, or what, 4 of them, and then there's 8 that are either dog or toss-up rolls. That's 8 wins. My floor is 8 wins for that reason. That's the lowest I'm willing to accept is an 8-win season. Do you think that South Carolina, under Shane Beamer, is prepared for the expectations of the fan base and for the national media? And again, you don't have to love them. But let's be clear. 9-3 out of the Southeastern Conference has you in a playoff discussion. Probably, are we going to be 12 or 13, 11 or 14? Are we going to be on the bubble, or are we going to get popped, or are we going to float our way in? 9-3 has you in that discussion. I think out of the SEC, 10-2 gets you into the game. 10-2 and you're going dancing. So the expectations this year are at least be in the discussion. And the reason the national expectations matter is because they are the ones who set, like it or not, they are the ones who set the conversation about your team. And if they are giving you glowing reviews at the end of the year, then when the College Football Playoff Committee gets together to decide who's in and who's out, they can say that they don't take that into consideration, and I call bull boat on that. They absolutely influence it. So the local expectations, I think, are up. And I say that because of, well, me. The national games, the national expectations, pardon me, I think are also elevated. And the problem is, if the expectations are elevated, then the conversation about you changes. If the goals are elevated and you're reaching them, glowing reviews. If the goals are elevated and you're even slightly shy of them, negative reviews. That's how the media works. And the media sets the tempo for the conversation about the playoff selection committee. And if you get to 9-3 and you're on that bubble, you need them saying, yo, South Carolina's exciting. South Carolina's entertaining. South Carolina's engaging. Because half of getting into the playoffs is what? Are you entertaining, compelling, engaging? Will you get eyeballs on the product? And if Lenora Sellers plays off his ass and this team's 9-3 and they pull a couple of upsets, the answer to that becomes yes, which means it's more likely, if you're a bubble team, to be the team that is selected. Is this team, is this program ready to handle that? Are they ready to handle the elevated expectations, not just of us locally, but of the folks nationally, so that the conversation about them is good when the playoffs get here? South Carolina fans, I want you to stew on that over the break. I want your answers when we come back. Everybody else, sit down, relax, and enjoy the sultry sounds of this Sports Flash.
If Lenora Sellers plays off his butt, then they probably have offensive line problems. They probably need to address that. The Atlanta Braves knocked off the Angels in game two of their three-game set last night, 8-3. Rookie Didier Fuentes went 3.2 innings, giving up four hits, two runs, and striking out six. The Braves collected a dozen hits, including home runs from Sean Murphy, Jurickson Profar in his return from an 80-game suspension, and a grand slam from Matt Olson in six. Dodgers pitcher Clayton Kershaw became the 20th player and fourth lefty in Major League Baseball history to record 3,000 strikeouts. Kershaw is also one of just four to do it with one team. The number came with two outs in the sixth inning of a 5-4 victory over the White Sox. The LA Lakers have added a big man, signing former Trailblazer DeAndre Ayton to a two-year deal. Ayton also had interest from Indiana, New York, Milwaukee, Cleveland, and also Denver.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation Trusted Dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.